Your day has just begun. Yeah. But for DJ and PK, they're just hitting their stride.
It's time for all your headlines from the night in sports.
As DJ and PK tell you what's trending.
Are you ready?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Yeah. Hashtag NBA.
I'll give you a six. It was probably an eight last week. I've gotten some recent concerns expressed by players now that babies, children have been infected. So heightened concerns have come into the conversation. So I'd say a six.
That's NBA Players Association President Michelle Roberts. I assume that's on a scale of 10, what she thinks the chances are of the season returning. It was an eight last week. It's a six. Well, Michelle, I think it's a 10. I think that they're going to finish it up at some point here in Orlando later this summer, late July, early August. And so we'll follow that. I understand the skepticism. It's the way it works. That's what you got to do. It's about bargaining. Damian Lillard thinking that he believes that a play-in tournament for teams outside the playoff would be perfect. NBA is considering those options. I got it up on Facebook. What do you think that the NBA should do for the rest of the season? Give us an update. As far as that goes, and Lillard was talking about not participating before. Now he's thinking has some type of plan. I like what he's saying there. I think that'd be fun. Be innovative. Have fun with it. The Hall of Fame class of 2020, obviously with Duncan and Garnett, Kobe Bryant and others, it's going to be moved to next spring. I get that. It was supposed to be in August. Go ahead and postpone it. NBA Media Ventures being sued by a landlord alleges the league has failed to pay $1.25 million in rent on its store in New York's Fifth Avenue during this pandemic. The rent at the store is $7.5 million per year or $625,000 per month. That's how these leagues roll, people. Don't ever forget that. And NBA Media Ventures did not pay the rent for April when the store was closed. Quote, like other retail stores on Fifth Avenue in New York City, the NBA store was required to close as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Mike Abbas said the NBA Chief Communications Officer, under those circumstances, we don't believe these claims have any merit. We have attempted and will continue to attempt to work directly with Orlando to resolve this matter in a manner that is fair to all parties. All right. That's what's going on in the NBA right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Hashtag NFL.
My only, I guess, problem with that would be, how do I know that a play in the first quarter isn't monumental?
Yeah.
I would have wanted you to step in the first quarter if there was a huge mistake that might impacted my career and my team's chance to win a Super Bowl. So that to me is the whole problem with this sky judge thing. Who says what play is going to be critical? How do we know, looking back, what the big play was? Are we going to get involved with everything and every little detail on every play? I never have been a big fan of replay, and I think this is just one of those reasons why.
Tony Dungy, ex-coach, still has a platform using it, says he's never been a big fan of the replay and this sky judge that we have called it. That's an interesting situation there, because how do we know that replay can't make it right, and making it right couldn't affect your career and your chances for the Super Bowl and all that stuff? We can go round and around on that. I tend to go along with Tony and say not a big fan of it. I like the controversy of it, the human element of it, having to play through struggles, play through bad calls, play through dropped passes, whatever it might be. There's a million things that can go wrong in a game, and the winners succeed and the losers don't. So NFL owners won't vote this week on two rule proposals that would establish skyjug positions for this next season. There's still a possibility, however, that the league will stage an experiment that will allow for expanded communication between replay assistants in the booth and referees out on the field. Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield, he's going to let his actions do the talking as he enters the third season. It's time to work, do our thing, instead of talking about it, Mayfield said on a video call with reporters, which is kind of ironic, though, when you think about it there. It's time to do our thing instead of talking about it. When he was on a video conference call talking about it with reporters.
This is the first one you did all year, PK. Come on.
My only, I guess, problem with that.
Sorry about that.
This is the first media thing I've done, just because there's no need to be talking about it. It's time to go do it. Right now, it's moving in silence, which is fine with me. Okay. Great. I'm all for it, man. Let your production speak on the field, and just stick to talking about production out on the field, not a bunch of nonsense, and don't get offended at questions, because once you get offended at questions and start making little mini celebrities out of the media, all you do is just extend the story. The story will die very quickly if you just answer the question. In fact, it won't be any story at all if you answer the question. But once you pick a fight with the media guy, then it blows up, and then it becomes a much bigger story. Well, that's just my counsel after 30-some years in the media. But Baker, you can do what you want. If you win, they'll love you. And if you lose, they're going to get rid of you. So ultimately, that's all that matters. All right, let's move on.
Hashtag college football.
NCAA Division I Council Coordination Committee. Wow, that's a mouthful. The NCAA D1 CCC extended their recruiting dead period in all sports. Now through the end of July, literally, for football programs, this decision means there will be no official visits this spring. And for men's basketball, the decision to extend the dead period erases the evaluation period that coaches would have taken place in June and July. Yeah, that's big for the on both accounts, really. Oh, I think to me, in football, it's not as big of a deal.
I'm with you, basketball deal, though.
Yeah, you can get to know players. And football, you're basing them on your senior, junior season, whatever it might be. And you got all these games of film that you have here that you look at. Basketball is a little bit different because they play in this summer stuff.
A lot of the kids
who aren't nearly as good don't participate. And that's where I think some of the sleaziness takes place. But it's going to save them money. So I think in football you can still evaluate guys because that's how you're evaluating guys anyway. Not necessarily when they're on campus. I mean, they can come to your camps. I get that. And you can evaluate them then. But camps, not as much real football as the actual seasons. And so much for football is what your size, your weight, how fast you run and move and all that stuff. And so I think that as long as the rules are the same for everybody, they're going to be okay. And in basketball, the big boys are going to get the better players. And you hope that the lesser programs find ways to develop guys over time. And we'll live. We'll live for this. It'll be interesting to see what happens with these AAU people who live for June and July. Now they won't have that. How will that go? That'll be funky. And Division I Council also announced that they will allow strength and conditioning coaches to observe voluntary player workouts if their athletes request that they do. Well, I mean, I don't understand that. To me, that
they can't have these coaches directing the workouts. They can like post a workout on the wall, but then if the athlete, hey coach, will you watch me do this? Yeah, sure. They can watch it like via video.
Okay. Well, good for them. All right, that's college football right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Hashtag Major League Baseball.
Here we go. MLB Players Association expects to counter the MLB's economic proposal by the end of this week. Well, you better hurry up. With a plan that includes more than 100 games and a guarantee of full prorated salaries for the 2020 season. On multiple phone calls yesterday, players essentially pledged to ignore the league's proposal and instead offer one of their own. So you got Max Scherzer issued a statement on Twitter last night. They read in part, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no need to engage with MLB in any further compensation reduction. So lines are being drawn in the sand. Have at it, guys. Go ahead and fight over money. If I am an MLB player, I'm going to be fighting over money too. And if I'm an owner, this is the way it works. This is the way all contract deals work. You got one side that is trying to reduce as much as possible of somebody who's trying to take your money. And then they got the other side who's trying to maximize as much as possible how much of their money you're going to take. That's the bottom line. You can pretend you're friendly and do all these things, but in the final analysis, they want as much money as they can get from you, and you want as much money as you can protect them from getting from you. Follow me? So And sure, don't play. I think it's stupid that they've got to come to some middle ground here and get back out on the field if it's safe enough. But if they don't, they're just hurting themselves in the end, because we've gone this far and we could go a little bit longer for sure. You don't want to play because of money? Don't play. See what happens to your sport. Good luck to you. That's what I say. What is Trending? Brought to you by Shamrock Plumbing. Receive a free reverse osmosis system with the purchase of any water softener at Shamrock Plumbing. The phone number for Shamrock Plumbing is 801-295-1690. 801-295-1690 for Shamrock Plumbing. Coming up this morning at 7:40, a little earlier than normal, we've got the Joe Ingles Show. He'll be joining me. And then at 8:30, Craig Bullerjack will be joining us. All right, you got that? Joe Ingles coming up at 7:40, so stay with us. What do you think the NBA should do for the rest of its season? We'll get involved in that discussion next, right here on 97.5 and 1280 The Zone.
The Zone honors the greatest coach in Utah Jazz history and member of the Hall of Fame, Jerry Sloan. We, along with Jazz fans everywhere, mourn the loss of the coach we all grew up with. The man who went into battle with John and Carl.
My coach.
Who would argue with officials and would call for the pick and roll. Thank you, Coach Sloan, for sharing your love of the game and giving us all so many great memories. Celebrating the life of Utah Jazz legend,
Jerry Sloan.
Hot Takes or Toast is brought to you by Master Electrical Services. Master Electrical is always open during this challenging time. Call us at 801-543-2222. That's 543-2222 for upfront pricing, and for your satisfaction is guaranteed. We'll light up your day. All right, I put up on Facebook, man. Give us an update on what you think the league should do, the NBA. Looking like they're going to be moving towards Orlando at some point here, late July, early August. So what are your thoughts? And some players have spoken. They're talking about allowing some family members. What form of tournament should they have? Jacob, finish in Orlando. Finish the regular season so teams don't have to pay millions back for the local broadcast rights. Then playoffs. That makes sense. Okay, I'm fine with that. How about this? Nothing. Call it over and start fresh next season. The players are not in NBA shape, and by that time, it'll be over. I disagree. Kyle agrees. Call it good and start next season. Kills me to say that with as much as I've missed live sports, but it seems the most logical. Nah, I think we need NBA season more than ever. I think that it would be such a boost, such a morale booster. I think it was George Niang said it. He came on one of the other shows where he was talking about how America needs its sports. And that's what I said in the beginning.
It was with Hans and Scotty.
Yeah, he was on with Hans and Scotty, and he came on there and said that. I believe that more than ever. I said it like the second, third week. I wrote about it, posted. You can go to our website, 1280thezone.com. I put it up on KSL.com. And it took some flack. Well, I don't miss it. I can get by without it. Of course you can get by without it, man. People who are most important to you get by without it. You lose somebody and you get by without it. And that's just the way the world works. So it's not a question of whether you can get by without it. It's just a question of what it'll do for us and how it'd be a shot in the arm, so to speak. And so that's why I'm thinking that it should come back. Now, they've got financial reasons for it to come back, too. And everything is about money. I mean, that's just the way it is. Money factors in everything we do, right? I mean, those millions of people who are unemployed, well, if they had the money to get by, it wouldn't be nearly as big of a deal. It wouldn't matter as much. It would still matter for people. You want to have something to do and get up to go to work, particularly if you're like me and love your job, and have it taken away would be a crushing blow. But if I had the money to withstand it, it wouldn't be as big of a crushing blow. It'd still be a blow for me, yes, definitely. But if I had the money to live my lifestyle, well, then I'll manage to survive. So it is about money, and the NBA needs to recoup as much money as it can. I understand that. I don't have any problem with that. But I think for the rest of us, weren't really involved in that financially, at least not to the degree that the players and owners and advertisers and everybody that they are. It's about the competition, about seeing our guys back out on the floor. But it doesn't seem to be the overwhelming sentiment. Kevin, season's over. Get ready for next year. To me, it's really not even about continuing this season. It's about getting back out and having a sign of what that means if they can get back out on the floor and participate in some form of competition, even if it's watered down, even if it's not as good. You know, we watched that golf, and it had record cable ratings, and they came to hole 11, and so the way they were doing it, on the tee, each guy would hit a shot off the tee, and then they would play alternate going with which one they wanted to use. And I remember on 11, there was like a 332-yard hole, and Manning gets up there, and he puts his out, and then you got Phil Mickelson, and he just takes a hellacious cut, just wails on it, and it's a par four, obviously 332 yards, and he hits it to the back of the green, and I think Manning ended up making the putt. But would Phil have done that if it was real competition? Would he have taken the risk, or would he have played it more conservatively and tried to get up and down? And they ended up eagling that because I think Manning made the putt. So was that real competition, is the point I'm making? Probably not. If that's on a Sunday at a major, does Phil do that? But he wasn't playing on a Sunday in a major. He was just out there having fun. Now, he suggests and wants to have this every season, every year, have this type of thing. I'm great. I'm all for it. Have it be fun and having some, whether it be entertainment or some form of celebrity, you know, those people who think their opinions matter to us, have them out there and play that. He wants to do that because he had fun. And judging by the cable ratings, Yach told me the other day it was the highest rated cable sports golf show that they had.
Yeah, the highest rated in television history on cable for a golf event.
So people enjoyed it. They watched it. It was a rainy day there in Florida. It was a sunny day where we were. But people watched it. And I think people will watch this, even if it's not its purest form. Gordy says five final regular season games, then playoffs. A Christmas opening day is a non-starter idea. I wonder why he says that. Why a Christmas opening day?
Yeah, why is that a non-starter? That's where I think it should start.
Yeah. I don't. I like when it starts where it is. For me, yeah. I like this calendar. I'm fine with it.
And I get what you're saying, PK. I'm the type of guy that I just think if the NBA really wants to continue to dominate headlines, why not play later into the summer and start your season a little bit later so you're not competing head-to-head with the NFL? So I've always thought that the Christmas start date is kind of my unofficial kickoff to the NBA season, but it should be the official one in my mind.
To me, they're not competing with the NFL because they're not playing on Sundays.
It's a fair point.
Few teams. I mean, the Jazz never have a Sunday home game for obvious reasons. Most of theirs are moved to Monday. To me, give me more sports, not less. Let me choose what I want to watch. And so I'm perfectly fine with it starting in October the way it does. Get it going. Because when I roll around to July and August, I'm outside way more than I'm inside. I mean, in the winter, obviously, we're inside way more than we're outside. So get it going. But if it goes to July and August, no, I'll live with it. It's not like I really, really care that much. Whenever they play, whenever the Jazz are playing, I'm going to be watching. They can play at 2 in the morning in whatever time of year, in whatever time of day, whatever day of the week, and I'm going to be watching. So it doesn't much matter to me. I'm already committed to being in. But I'm fine with the way that this is. But if they want to maximize money and they think that's the best way to maximize the dollar, great. Make as much money as you can. I'm all for everybody making as much money as they can. Why not? And if they're going to do it for financial reasons, great. Good luck to you. Squeeze out some more millions if that's what's important to you. fine, no problem. But I like it. I like it the way it is. To me, the unofficial start of the NBA season is the official start of the NBA season, which is game one. And when the Jazz tip off on game one, there's two places I'm going to be. I'm either going to be at the arena or I'm going to be at my Lazy Boy. That's it. If they go January, if they go December, or if they go October, it doesn't much matter to me. Kevin, scrap it and get ready. But they won't do that. Too much money at stake. Yeah, I agree. And who am I to tell somebody, hey, don't get your money? I would never do that. They want to get their money, get to 70 games? Fine. Very good. Wyatt, wait for next season. Nathan, cancel. The NBA sucks anyway. Oh, I don't.
You're just a hater in that case.
Jake Scott and I were having this discussion on Tuesday where he's talking about today's teams would be better than the 80s Lakers because they're bigger, faster, stronger. Yeah, I think Jake obviously didn't get enough sleep that day. I don't think that the Jazz of today, I don't even think the Lakers of today would beat the Lakers back then. That was an all-time team. But I like the talent that we have coming into the league now. I like the game. They've made changes to the rules that make it better. I'm totally fine with all that stuff. You know, the pounding the ball into the hardwood and players standing around. That was a little boring. The rough and tumble stuff. At the time, I really didn't know any better, so I watched it. But as I look back, particularly watching the Last Dance stuff with the Bulls and the cheap shots and the fighting, I like competitive edges and guys being in tune with what's going on and being on edge. But I don't want to see brawls. I don't want to see cheap shots. I don't want to see guys lying on the floor. Things happen. Injuries happen through the course of the game and season as it is. That's just the nature of it. When guys are in the air and they fall and they crash hard, as Bogdanovich did, we see that all the time. And we see guys blow out their Achilles or their knee, whatever it might be, and they're not even being contacted. They're in a non-contact situation. So there's enough of that that is inherent to the game to begin with that I don't want to see it overly physical. Fouls are going to happen, and flagrant fouls are going to happen. But I don't want to see clotheslining people and all that stuff and having these players go to the floor. So I didn't really know it at the time, but as I look back, today's version of the game, to me, is more fun to watch. I get a little crazy sometimes with the amount of three-pointers that are being put up.
You and
when
me
guys
both
aren't hitting them. You know, to me, run an offensive set and a fast break, and you're coming down the lane, and the guys on the left and right run to the three-point line, and well, they're supposed to shoot when their bodies are barely stopped.
Yeah,
nobody stops on a dime.
You've also got guys
going to
the rim, PK, where it's like, okay, just take the ball and just score the 2 points, and then they pass it out to the 3-point, and you're like, what is going on here? But that's okay.
There's two things.
Okay.
Nobody ever stops on a dime, and nobody jumps through the gym.
That's a good point. Or jumps out of the gym.
Or jumps out of the gym, yeah. No, they don't.
Well, we got a good response here, PK, from Austin Richards on Twitter. He's at Richards Aust on Twitter. He says, "I think the start of the NBA season is perfect because BYU blows it in there somewhere. It blows it there in football by then. So then I have something to look forward to." So he likes likes the October start, and BYU fan is a little disappointed at that point in the season.
Maybe so. Yeah. I mean, well, very few fans. Most fans at that point in the time of the season would be disappointed because that's when you're making great separations, and usually there's only one or two teams in contention. For the Utes, November was flying high, and December was crashing. So ultimately, just about every team is going to have some form of disappointment. Another thing that bugs me, Yach, quarterbacks don't run for their lives. They're running to buy some more time to make the play. They're not running for their lives.
They're not literally running for their lives, no. But they do take some hellacious hits every once in a while when they are scrambling.
Well, so does everybody. That's just the nature of the game. If
you
don't want that, then don't do that. But they're not running for their lives.
Yeah, they're not literally
running. They're trying to get some more time to throw the ball or to get away from someone who's chasing them. But they are never running for their lives. You can jump out of the gym, but you can't. nor are you running for your lives. Okay. Just the expressions that drive me crazy.
Any other ones that we need to get rid of?
Oh, I'll have to think about that. But
well, people can send them in. Tweet at us, at Jacob C. Hatch, at PK Kinahan. Love to hear your guys' sports cliches or statements that you need to go away.
Quarterbacks running for their lives. No. And they have to throw to the big tight end. It's not the medium-sized tight end. It's not the small
tight end. The big tight end,
yes. It's the big tight end.
Who's like 6 foot five.
And the cornerback is not left on an island. No, he's not. Islands?
They're out there on an island, PK. Come on.
They're over there, antelope maybe. Let's see. You know, obviously in the islands on each side of our country, southeast, southwest. But they're not standing there on an island. They may be in single coverage, but they're not on an island. So, and baseball, I love listening to the ex-jock. You never know, a bloop and a blast, and he can run into one. If he hits a home run, he's not going to run into one. He's going to make a swing, and the ball is going to hit the wood on the solid part, and the ball is going to fly in over the fence. But he's not going to run into one. That doesn't make any sense. But they got to talk about that. All right, Joe Ingles is coming up next. Stay with us, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Take The Zone with you wherever you go.
Let's go.
Download the all-new Zone Sports Network app on your phone and get live streaming of The Zone as well as podcast editions of every show. From Salt Lake to Shanghai, Provo to Portugal, or Ogden to Oslo, wherever you go, we'll tag along.
Let's go.
Download the new Zone app by searching Zone Sports Network wherever you shop for apps. It's the Zone Sports Network app. From 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Hey, yeah!
This is the Zone Sports Network.
Back to Joe and he'll flush!
And it's time to hear from the best looking, most charismatic, and certainly the most intelligent member of the Utah Jazz.
Jingle bells!
Yeah. Joe Ingles.
Gives it back to Joe till the cop slams it in.
And yes, for the record, Joe wrote this introduction. This is the Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Who?
On 97.5, 1280, The Zone. And The Zone Sports Network.
Joe Ingles Show is brought to you by your hardworking friends at Mountain Land Supply. For all your plumbing and irrigation needs, go to mountainlandsupply.com. Jumpin' Joe Ingles, it is your lucky day because you're on with PK only today. How do you like that, Joe?
We'll find out in 15 minutes, I guess.
So, a bunch of stuff I wanted to get with you today. Last week, there was some type of manufactured controversy, I believe. Apparently, you had said somewhere along the line that you're willing to take your family and go to the Outback and never be heard again. And that created some kind of controversy on social media. Fill us in. What was that all about?
Well, I did an interview when we first got back from OKC, which, as you know, and all the other very intelligent people out there know, that was, what was that? Well, it's probably coming up to 3 months now, maybe 2.5 months or something.
Yeah.
And obviously at the time then, 2-3 months ago, the unknown was a lot more unknown than the unknown is now. I still don't think we fully kind of know what this virus can do, but obviously we're way better equipped with the hospitals and all the work that kind of the frontline people are doing, which is unreal, which we can talk about later if you want. But and they asked me about playing, and at that time I was absolutely in no way, shape, or form gonna put myself at risk or my family. And it's funny because the backlash of that was people saying it's just the flu and you're a basketball, like, just go and play basketball. Like, people don't understand. I figure people don't understand that although I do play professional basketball, I also do have a family, and I've got a family that's got a special needs son who's obviously a higher risk. And that's why I said it. And still to this day, and we also knew that Renee was pregnant, which no one else really did. So between Jacob and Renee being pregnant and that, and I stand by what I said. I'm not saying I didn't say it, but things times as things have changed in what we know. And, they got resurfaced by, I'm not even going to name who it was because I don't want them to get any more publicity than they already did, but I had to obviously let them know the context of what was said and when it was said. So, just some bored people. I feel sorry for people like that. Like you use a quote from 3 months ago with no context, so people thought I'd said it like that day, which obviously it was like a week or so ago.
All right, yeah.
I had all these people asking me if I'm quitting, and my agent's calling me, and it's just, if you put context to it, it makes complete sense. And I think the people that are intelligent and understand would understand why I said it at the time that I said it. There's no way. That time, 2.5 months ago, there's no way I would have even thought about playing. And I don't think anyone else was thinking about playing back then either.
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand, because I remember when you said it, and then I'm thinking, why was it out there this week? Did I miss something? The joke go on?
It's a very bored, not very researched bloggers or whatever they are. I don't even know what they are.
All right. I understand now. Thanks for
filling us in. Now, if it came from DJ and PK, then it's just, it might be breaking news.
It helped me spend 10 minutes of my time that particular day, so thank you.
I'm glad I wasted 10 minutes of your day.
Gave me something to do. How would you describe your physical conditioning right now?
Probably better than I thought, honestly. we've talked about this a few times, and it's just hard to know where you're going to be at, because we've never been in this situation before, and that goes back to me talking about the unknown of it. Like, well, we've never been through this. We've never been 65 games into a season and stopped for 2, 3, 4 months, whatever it's going to be, and then potentially coming back to almost just play the playoffs. So for all the people out there that really, really want to know, I've been going in the facility this week and last week, and I actually feel better than probably I thought I was going to feel. Renee and I were talking the other day. It's probably the most consistent I've been able to lift properly, because I'm not preparing for national team. I'm not preparing for the Jazz preseason or whatever. So I've had 6, 8, whatever the weeks have been, of pretty consistent lifting, which we don't really normally get to do, because there's always running involved and there's basketball involved and whatever. So I knew strength and stuff wise I would feel completely fine, and then obviously the running on the court, getting your legs back, was something that I was scared about. And I took a few shots last week when I went in, and one of my drills was to shoot and then to run, and my first couple steps running felt like I was going to fall over, and then felt kind of pretty normal again. So obviously that wind of getting up and down the court will take a little bit longer, but I feel a lot better than I was anticipating.
So on these workouts, how's it working? You just come in on your own, you schedule an appointment, your other guys there, how's it go?
Yeah, so we're only allowed a certain number of players in the arena or the gym or whatever you want to call it. So the guys just kind of throughout the morning or day or whatever, we've got scheduled times, and you go in your time, and you have a coach who's heavily masked and gloves and all that. There's a pretty full-on check when you get to the arena with your temperature and all that stuff. So just making sure, obviously, that no one's bringing anything in. And we have surveys we fill out in the mornings to, if you've got a runny nose or a cough or any type of symptom or anything, then they jot it down. And I'm assuming you wouldn't come in. So, it's pretty full-on, but once you're out on court and it's only you and one coach, and the coach, like I said, is heavily masked and gloved and everything, it felt kind of nice to be back out there and just to shoot the ball a little bit and get up and down the court.
And so how many times a week do you do that? It's up to you?
Yeah, pretty much, I think. So they've got – there's obviously rules and regulations, and I don't exactly know what they are. But, yeah, I've been going in 3 times a week, I think it is, and then I do my other stuff at home like we've all been doing. So, obviously, everyone right now is pretty strict with it because it's the rules that the NBA's put out there, and obviously, like I said, we still don't know 100% about this virus, so there's still some unknown about it. So everyone's obviously really cautious, and we do it as best we can and get in and out quickly so the next guys can come in, and everyone's going to be professional cleaners by the end of this, though, because they wipe down everything you go near. Even if you don't touch it, they're wiping it down. So it's, like I said, it's extremely kind of full on, but it's obviously what has to be done for us to be able to get in the gym a couple times a week.
Joe Engel's show, Joe joining us for his weekly appearance, brought to you by Mountain Land Supply. George Niang was on one of our with Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, and he was talking about, I want to see what you think of this, he's talking about how we'll just deal with this country here because that's where we're in. We're saying Americans in America needs its sports right now because it's something that we're so used to. And this time of year specifically, I mean, literally every year of my life, I've been in tune to the NBA, and we would be into the conference finals right about now.
Yeah.
And so his point was that, man, we need to get back on the floor because it'll be such a big morale boost to the country to have some live sports. We saw it with, I don't know if you're not a golf guy, but Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, with two quarterbacks from the NFL, played in this celebrity match. They raised $20 million for the virus and all that stuff, and it was broadcast on Sunday. People were watching it in droves. It had great ratings. Do you buy that you need to get back on the floor just for the morale's sake?
Yeah, if it's safe and that we... Obviously, the players and the staff and the volunteers and whoever works on a game situation or whoever is safe, of course. But there's no morale boost if we do it and everyone gets sick and everyone's in hospital. It's probably the complete opposite of a morale booster if that happens. If we go out there and I'm saying this, if things aren't safe and if the rules and the regulations and the whatever that's going to be by the NBA, if we all go out there and just freestyle and everyone gets sick, then we're back to square one, really. So I do believe that sport is obviously a huge part in this country. I think it's a huge part in a lot of countries, but no doubt in my mind it has to be safe for everyone to do so, because you've got coaches over the age limit that's more dangerous and stuff like that. So, it's just I'm all for playing if it's going to be safe and all of that. And like I said in my retweet to these unfamous bloggers, if it's all safe to do so and everything's safe and they've done the precautions and the safety and stuff like that, then I think everyone would love to be out there, including us. So, we'll see what the NBA decides, and until then, we'll do what we're doing and see how it goes.
What about the idea of being stationed, I guess, in a manner of speaking, in Orlando? Is that appealing to you?
It's not very appealing. Purely because of my situation, and I think a lot of guys would be in the same situation of what you would do with your families. Especially after this, I'm so used to being with my family now. I am anyway, but then you see 9 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever it's going to end up being of complete, put them to bed every night, get them up every morning, and kind of have all day with them, and then to pack up and leave for who knows how long. There's been rumours of different amount of games or just playoffs or whatever it is. It would be really hard, and like I said, with Jacob's situation and Renee being pregnant and stuff, I don't think it would be that intelligent of me to bring them or to get them there, because I'd be around, what, a couple of thousand people within a little kind of sporting complex or whatever that Orlando thing is, and then I'd be trying to see them at a house or a hotel or whatever. I don't think it'd be very smart. So if that was to happen, I would more than likely just leave the family here and probably be pretty grumpy for a few days here and there, and my teammates would just have to deal with it. It's just hard. You get so used to this. It's like we talked about earlier on. It's been like, we're kind of like retired life. Like, no, I don't want to retire, but I've like absolutely had no way had this much time with my family, and it makes you realize what you're kind of missing out on.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, my wife's a school teacher at a local high school, and obviously they've been doing the online stuff. Well, today she had to go in, and last night I said, you can't go in, man. I got to see you in the mornings. I mean, we've been doing this now for 2+ months, and this is our routine, and you get in a routine, and if you like the other person, and, you know, I like my old lady, Joe, and I like having her around. And so
is the feeling mutual? She probably wanted to go to work.
Yeah, she was thinking, man, it's about time.
I've been trying to go for 2 months.
I don't know. I'll have to ask her if the feeling is mutual. But it was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird seeing her go out the door because you just get used to it.
Yeah, I mean, I've played 13, 14 years of the twins are nearly four, and I've never got to spend this much time with them in their 4 years. And that seems... Well, it sounds really sad because 4 years of their life and the most I've spent with them in a consecutive time is what, 8 weeks or whatever you said. And that's like in the off season, I obviously get time, but I'm still training and Renee's training and we're all over the place. The kids are at school, Jacob's at therapy. So now it's like, I've had no better feeling than getting them up in the morning every morning and putting them to bed every night. And yeah, being able to, like you said, cook dinner with Renee every night and get up in the morning and have a coffee together before the kids get up. And just stuff that, you know, I guess is normal to a lot of people is what we don't get to do. Even regular working people. One day it's going to eventually go back to pretty normal. It's going to be a very weird situation.
So can I say for this time being, get this, you have become a regular Joe?
Well, I try to be a regular Joe anyway, but I've definitely become even more. Yeah, it's just like the routine is, like you said, you get so used to, like we as sad as it sounds, we nearly do like the same thing every day. Like we get up at, Renee gets up way earlier than I do, but I get up, which is obviously before the kids, then we always have a coffee and then we get the kids up, we kind of get the kids ready slowly and breakfast and whatever. Jacob has therapy and one of us takes Miller to do something for a couple of hours while Jacob's doing therapy, and then we go home and have lunch together and then we hang out in the afternoon and bed and bath and dinner routine is me and Renee. We get to watch. It's just the days are sometimes slow, but to do it with those four is awesome. So I'll be devastated when I have to do it with George and bloody Quinn and all these people. Same thing, but with Quinn and George.
What is your preference? Because there's been a lot of discussion, well, go right to the playoff, have a playoff for a playoff, have some regular season games. What are you thinking about that?
Man, coming from a player's perspective, I think you want games. I think you want some regular season games before the playoffs. I think you want to, if we went right to the playoffs, it's obviously going to be a little rusty. Like you can have 1 week, 2, 3, 4 weeks of training camp or whatever they're going to do, but playing live competition is so different. If I was making the rules, I would have some component of games. Just everyone's going to have, if there's say 10 games, everyone's going to have 2 or 3 pretty ugly games, I think, and to get your rhythm back and your team, and
let's be honest, there's going to be, I mean, it's inevitable that people are going to get injured. There's been stuff in Australia. The rugby team, one of the rugby teams in Melbourne went back and had three hamstrings and a back in one of the first few sessions they were out there back practicing. So I think the German league soccer, Renee said five of the 11 guys got soft tissue injuries in the first game back. So there's going to be injuries. So I think obviously on our staff to kind of do the best we can to have us ready for that. But then also, just having some not warm up games, but lead up games or whatever it is to get guys back in rhythm a little bit. Obviously by the playoffs and as you guys are fans and stuff, people working and fans of the game, they want to see the best basketball possible. And I don't think that'll happen going straight to the playoffs.
Did you have any interaction with Jerry Sloan, Joe?
Oh man, it was fun. Like now you look back and I wish more. You hear it was really cool for me on the day that he passed away was for the jazz world, and the basketball world is an extremely sad day. And I got on Twitter and just scrolling through Twitter and reading the stories and the different things. I wanted to tweet out like, tell me your best Jerry Sloan moment or story, because it's obviously being a part of this organization, you know a bit of the history and stuff like that. But I only kind of came across him a few times. When I first got here, he was around at practice a little bit, so I saw him a bit at practice and stuff, and would always say hi and have a brief conversation. And then obviously as his situation kind of deteriorated a little bit, he wasn't around as much, and you could shake his hand and it was a kind of a quick hello, but not as much as what I would have obviously loved to have done if I was here earlier. Like I said, it's an extremely sad day for the whole basketball world. I don't think just jazz fans, but for basketball in general. And it's one of those things. I just wanted to keep hearing stories and different things, because there was some funny stuff that he used to say or do. And it was really cool to read those things, obviously celebrating a great life that he had.
You obviously, even though you weren't here, you understand his place in jazz history and in the NBA for that matter.
Yeah. I think, like I said, when I first got here, probably not as much. I knew who he was and what he'd done and that. But obviously the more you hear and the more you see in stories, and then, like I said, bumping into him, and you bump into him and then someone, the next person's like, oh, do you remember when this and stuff? You just start kind of generally talking about these people. And he was, like I said, it's an extremely sad day. So,
well, Joe, thanks for coming on this week. I look forward later today to read some 3-month-old comments that you made and drum up some more controversy, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Joe Ingles making his weekly appearance. Appreciate him joining us, coming to you by, brought to you by Mountainland Supply. And Joe is money, as always. And coming up, we'll dissect some of his comments. Expecting another special guest appearance here at the top of this hour, which is right now. And then at the bottom of the hour, we got Craig Bowerjack. So stay with us, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.